And we welcome you in to a Tuesday morning edition of My Car Guru, a beautiful Tuesday morning. And joining us by phone, for now anyway, is the car guru, Lenny Lawson. Good morning, Lenny.
You know, there's probably certain things, well, not probably, there are definitely certain things that you should not do while driving. So, you know, some of the top ones may be like texting. I got Abby in the car with me, and that kind of gives away what I was saying. You know, you probably shouldn't drink and drive, right, Abby?
Right.
Yeah, that's, we definitely, I mean, unless you're drinking a Coke or something.
Coffee like I am right now.
You should probably not try to eat and drive. Do you agree with that, Tim? I mean, have you done that before? Like, put the Coke between your legs, balance the sandwich, the French fries against the armrest. You ever done that, Tim?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've done that. I used to do that years ago. I don't do it so much anymore, though.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things you should probably shouldn't do is try to do a radio show while you're driving, which is what we're doing right now. We got kind of a got kind of a late start, so I'm in the F-150, and Abby's sitting beside me. We're headed to the radio station, but we just didn't quite make it. We had a couple slow traffic. Abby said, "Are you driving too fast, Dad?" I said, "Yeah, probably a little bit." And so the school zone in downtown Sulphur Springs took care of that.
Yeah.
So I just threw in the towel and said, "Okay, slow down and let's just call him and see if we can't just do this, the mobile version of My Car Guru."
Well, at least your hands free, right?
Well, yes, I do have my hands on the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we'll move on from there. Had an interesting thing happen this past weekend. Had a customer, really nice folks, older folks, bought a Nissan Murano from us. And after they got home that weekend, they called back on Monday morning, and they said, "We thought this car had navigation in it." Mm-hmm. Which you would think, you know, Nissan Murano, it's a pretty high-end SUV that Nissan sells. You may assume because it has a big screen, because it's got a lot of buttons, you know, that it might have built-in navigation. Mm-hmm. But this particular model did not. You know, it's one of the things that you have to be aware of when you're out shopping for a vehicle. If you're looking at a Hyundai or a Honda or a, you know, whatever, don't assume anything, number one, but don't assume that if it's got a big screen and a bunch of buttons that it has navigation. Now, they maintained that they asked the salesperson if it had navigation. The salesperson said, you know, maybe they did. I just don't recall them asking. Mm-hmm. And so they were wanting to bring the vehicle back because it doesn't have navigation. So we started thinking about, okay, well, how can we satisfy these folks? Mm-hmm. Tim, do you have any idea what we might suggest to somebody that wanted navigation but they didn't get it?
Well, you could have a navigation system put into it and pay for that yourself, I guess. Add that as a feature, maybe.
You know, we thought about that. So we went to the parts department and asked them, what would it cost to swap the radio? Mm-hmm. For this vehicle and put in a radio that has navigation or an infotainment system. And they said, well, the actual system with the navigation cost $1,500. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of cost prohibitive to a degree. But the other aspect is that it won't work. You can't switch them because it's integrated into the wiring.
Okay.
You know, this chip shortage that's going on right now. You know, back in the old days, we just had a bunch of wires running from a fuse panel to every electrical switch in the car. Now, everything goes to a computer bus and the computer or a computer module. There are multiple modules within the car that, like, for example, when I push my window button to go down, it's measuring the pressure of my finger. So if I'm pushing down really hard, it knows that I want the window to go all the way down. If I press it down lightly, it knows to stop whenever I let my finger off. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a computer that's interpreting my finger pressure. That's where we've gotten to. You know, I was told that there's anywhere from 140 to 150 microprocessors, computer chips, in other words, on this F-150. And so it complicates things when you go to changing out, especially something that is as important as an infotainment system in a vehicle. So, you know, erase all of those thoughts that you have about upgrading your sound system in a modern vehicle because it just is impossible. I'm sitting here in this F-150 and looking at a 15-inch screen, and you know, I can't imagine anybody wanting to change it. I can make this thing do whatever I want it to do. If I have an Android phone, I can use all of the Google apps. If I have a Apple CarPlay, if I have an Apple phone, I can use that and change the screen, or I can just go with what Ford is presenting to me, which is great, and use that. But if this car didn't have navigation, it's not going to get navigation. So what I started talking to the customer about was a workaround on that, and I haven't had the conversation with them, but they use an iPhone, okay? So all they would need to do is plug in their iPhone, and they've got navigation. But here was their concern, Tim. Mm-hmm. They said, if I use the iPhone's navigation system, I will be using data on my data plan. Now, is that true or not true? I mean, Tim, when you have an iPhone, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Abby, you have an iPhone, right?
Yes.
So we use our iPhones, and when we're using the navigation app, did you know that it's using data, or do you think it does use data? And are you on a specific data plan, Tim, or do you have unlimited?
We have a limit to it. We're not unlimited because we don't use enough to make it unlimited. So we went ahead and signed up. But I always assumed that, like when we rented cars, if we were on a navigation system, that if you use your phone, that it would indeed use your data.
It does. It does. And I didn't think it would. I bet Max $100, my nephew, that there's no way that navigation uses data because it's a standard app on your phone. But I was wrong. I did a little bit of research. So here's the deal. That sounded like Joe Biden. Here's the deal. He says that a lot, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. You know, if you're on a 5 gigabyte plan, basically your navigation will use anywhere from 2.9 to 5 megabytes of data per hour. Okay? So I calculated if you got 5 megabytes, there's 1,000 megabytes in a gigabyte. So if you use 5 megabytes, you can, in a month, and if you're on a 5 gigabyte plan, then you can have 1,000 hours of being on navigation without using up all your data. So I don't know how many hours of navigation you use, but I certainly don't get, I don't even scratch that surface. I never use navigation around town.
Right.
So, you know, the question is that going to be okay with the customer? And that kind of boils down to, do they feel like they were lied to? You know, do they feel like they were deceived? What kind of accommodation are we willing to do to help these folks out? You know, and sometimes, Tim, it could be something really small. And the customer says, no, nothing is going to make me happy. I want out of this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does the dealer have to let them out of the deal?
No.
Well, if they were deceived in some way, the only way that they could force that would be to sue.
Right.
Okay? And, they'd have to take legal action to get out of a deal because the dealer would have to be accused of fraud. And this has happened. I mean, people have been told things that are not true about cars for many years. For example, I bought a car one time that was disclosed to me that it had never been wrecked. Okay? And I pulled up the service history. Or the history on Carfax, and it showed zero accidents. But when I got the car, when they brought it to the dealership on the car carrier, unloaded it, I immediately saw that the car had been completely repainted. Mm-hmm. And then I started looking and investigating, and the car had been not wrecked, but just nearly totaled and rebuilt, but never turned into an insurance. But I was stuck. I bought it from a dealer in St. Louis, Missouri, and I immediately got out all the paperwork and started reading it, which I hadn't done, and saw that I had signed away pretty much all of my rights. I was buying the car as is with all its faults, and I had no way to solve that problem. And I think that you always want to buy a car from somebody that you trust. You want to buy a car from somebody that you that will work with you if there's an issue, but you just don't know. I mean, Tim, I know you have probably other dealer friends or, car dealer friends. Do you have friends at all, or is it just you pretty much in life?
It's just me and Christina. That's about it. No, I have other
friends. Okay, that's what I thought. So you have friends.
Yeah.
So if one of them is a car dealer, you know, then you can go to them and feel good about it, and you trust them and feel comfortable. But the average person does not know anybody that works in a car dealership, so they're going in cold, and they're having to rely on the representations of the people they're dealing with. And so it's so important in that case to, you know, seek the advice of somebody that knows what they're talking about. If you don't, you know, we call those people quarterbacks. They come in and help you buy a car. And the other thing is to read your paperwork and make sure that you're not signing away your rights. I'll talk about some of the other ways that you can protect yourself right after this break.
And we're back here on My Car Guru for this Tuesday morning with Lenny Lawson from Gateway Ford Nissan in Greenville.
Well, it's really from the F-150 in the parking lot at Cumulus Broadcasting. Because I've made it that far. I'm sitting here watching a dove just landed on one of the picnic tables out in front of your radio station.
Well, nice. I did take a shower this morning, so you all can come on in at some point.
That will come in after this one and maybe chit-chat.
Okay, very good.
You know, so Tim, if you're buying a car and you get home and you thought it had navigation and it doesn't have satellite navigation, is that a deal breaker for you? Knowing that you you know, you have it on your phone and you can plug your phone in.
No, it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. For maybe a few people, it might be.
You know, and I totally get it. And if it's a deal, if it's a big deal for you, then it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the past we have I've had customers come in and said, you know, bought this car, thought it was a four-wheel drive, and it's not. Now that is a deal breaker. You know, if some salesperson tells you that something has all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive and it doesn't, you know, to me that would be a deal breaker, because that's a pretty, you know, or if they said it had air conditioning and it doesn't, or
yeah.
I remember back in the old days at the Chevy store, one day we had this, and I had just pretty much started ordering vehicles about 6 months before. And I got two Luminas. You remember Lumina?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got two Luminas in, both of them four doors. Neither one had air conditioning.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and these cars had power windows,
mm-hmm.
power door locks, cruise, AM/FM CD. They were loaded up with no air.
You didn't check the box.
I didn't check the box. See, now just about everything comes with air. You don't have to sell it that you want air. You don't have to tell it that you want an automatic, because we don't even sell anything with a manual transmission.
Yeah.
That would have been the only thing worse would have been if those Luminas had come in with...
We're about to sell something with a manual transmission.
What's that?
The Bronco.
Well, that's true. We are going to be selling the Ford Bronco, and it's going to have a manual transmission, seven-speed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, certain things like that would be deal breakers. But the important thing for a consumer is if you see something like that, act on it quickly. Number one, read your paperwork before you sign it, especially the contract. And, you know, there's some dealers in this market that are going to shove something in front of your face. You're signing a lot of different forms, and you're just grabbing the pencil, and they keep sliding these forms across in front of you. You just keep signing. One of those forms may be a forced arbitration agreement. Do you know what that is, Tim?
A forced arbitration agreement.
Yes.
Hmm.
So if you have a complaint, if you have a serious thing, if those people committed fraud, if those people that you're buying the car from did anything wrong, you can't sue them.
Oh, okay.
You have to go through arbitration. And arbitration is, you know, sometimes it's handled through the courts, but sometimes there is an independent third-party arbitration that you are committing to when you sign the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw that in the paperwork that I'm getting ready to sign, and I noticed that, I would stop and I'd say, what's this? And they say, oh, that's where, if we have any disputes, that it goes to binding arbitration. And I'm not going to sign that form.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm going to resent the fact that they even presented it to me, you know, and tried to get me. I never agreed to this, you know, but this is something that unscrupulous dealers have done that when they're playing a bunch of games and, you know, they are, you know, they're doing things that they know that may eventually lead to a situation in the court, that they have started doing this. And, dang, that's just unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, you shouldn't have to do that kind of stuff. And so, you know, if I sell somebody a car and they thought it had all-wheel drive and it doesn't, you know, they should come in quickly, you know, within a matter of days or at least less than a week, and then come in and sit down and said, you know, I thought it had this. You know, the problem that you get into is if they finance the car, then the car, you know, it's already, the deal has already been, the contract has been submitted, the bank has issued funds to pay the dealership. More than likely, the title work has been done. It's been registered. That means that the title is in process. That means that it's a used car. So many of these little things, if you want to back out on a deal, you better get on it, you know, because if you try to do it a month from now or 2 months from now, you know, the dealer is going to be very reluctant to do anything unless it was just a really bad thing. I mean, there is some burden on the part of the consumer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, buyer beware. I mean, I do believe in that to a certain extent.
Well, if you have a list of things that you want to make sure are in your vehicle, make a list before you go in. Check your list up against the window sticker and make sure that the options that you want are on the car. And then to confirm, make sure that your salesperson demos how to use the options that you want. Those are a couple of fail-safes. You know, how to switch the vehicle into four-wheel drive, how to make sure that the power liftgate works. That's been something that I've run into a couple of times with some older customers, is that they think it has a power liftgate and it doesn't.
Yep.
And those liftgates are very heavy. So I understand why they want a power liftgate. I like to have a power liftgate, but just make your list, check it twice, you know, as they say, and make sure that the options are on there, because sometimes in the business of doing a car deal, salespeople can miss things. It happens.
Yeah, I had one of my mom's good friends, elderly lady, came in to buy a vehicle, and she bought it and took it home, and then probably a week or longer later, she came in and said, "Doggone it, I thought this thing had a power lift gate."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was hard for her to pull down, and she understood. You know, she said, "Well, the next time I trade, I'm going to get one of those," you know, and she'll probably trade next year anyway. But a lot of people can't do that. So, you know, make sure that everything that you're wanting, you're getting, and make sure you don't sign away your rights when you go in to sign the paperwork. And I don't mean to scare people. I just want to inform people. You know, if you pay attention to the details, then you're less likely to get taken advantage of. Well, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute.
And back here for the final moments of My Car Guru on this Tuesday morning with Lenny and Abby close by there.
Yeah, just out here in the parking lot watching the grass grow. Or should I say dandelion? Somebody needs to use some weed and feed out here.
You think?
Yeah, we've got a lot of dandelions growing up. Looks like my yard.
Yeah, those dandelions like to grow around here.
Well, you know, just like I say, pay attention to the details. They matter when you're buying. Make a list, like Abby said. Make a list of the things that you're interested in and that are non-negotiables, and make sure that you're getting those. I'm selling a Nissan truck to a guy today that we had a terrible time finding it, because he wanted a Nissan Frontier crew cab with a long bed, which most of them are like 5 foot beds, and this one's like a 6 foot bed or six and a half, and you know, because he wants the extra room. And oh, we had to fight to get that. Something like that is in your face. I mean, if you're not getting it, you can see it. You know, I would have zero sympathy for a customer that got home after buying a vehicle and said, "Well, I thought this was a long bed," you know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's in your face, you can see it. You know, you're responsible for that. If it's something like a nav on an infotainment system, or you know, something like that, all-wheel drive, I think you should know that. You should be able to see the little sticker on the back, all-wheel drive, you know, or just verify that. I had a customer want to bring a vehicle back many years ago because he found out it had a four-cylinder engine. You know, he thought it was a V6. Well, if that was an important thing, you should have lifted the hood and looked at it, you
know? One of the maddest customers I ever dealt with was mad that the truck he bought was black.
Oh, my goodness.
I exchanged many emails with him, and
We should have known not to sell him a black truck, right?
Yes, no
match. Oh, well. Well, Tim, I appreciate it. That's it. From now on, we won't do any more shows in the parking lot at WJCW.
All right. Sounds good. We'll say that's it for My Car Guru this Tuesday morning, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow.